Welcome to Cats and Rats Podcast, covering your Florida Panthers.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the Cats and Rats Podcast, episode number 11. I guess we can call this one the Bill Lindsay edition. It's pretty good timing and everything with who we're going to be matching up with here in the second round, the Boston Bruins. But we'll get into that here in a second. I'm your host, Kirby Lupo, alongside my co-hosts, Cody Stevens and Nick Levine. Before we get into the Panthers, guys, let's just talk about what we've seen here of late. There will be a new Stanley Cup champion.
Golden Knights
are out. The Toronto Maple Leafs are out in heartbreaking fashion. What's new there? So wherever you guys want to take this, Vegas, the Toronto-Boston series, you guys just go ahead. Cody, go ahead first.
I mean, episode 11, is it not He Who Shall Not Be Named? Is it not Hoobie Dooby Doo?
There we go. Maybe I left that on my notes. I was thinking Bill Lindsay just because we're playing Boston. I'm like, I think he wore 11. Let me just double check on that. I'm pretty sure on that. And then, you know, I'm pulling up all the pictures of Bill Lindsay and going through that. Wasn't even thinking Jonathan Huberdeau. I know some of our fans, it like comes right to the front of their mind. And then for me, it just, I don't know, it kind of escapes. I think that's because of the trade that we made, Cody. And you're not always thinking back and reflecting back. You're looking forward.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm excited to get the second round started. I mean, it's been about a week since Florida has last played.
Mm-hmm. Colorado's going to have the same amount of break that we will. So that'll be interesting.
I'm ready just for the second round to get started. I mean, I sat there waiting to figure out who the hell we're going to play. That took forever. It was just now, let's go.
Yep. Nick, do you got anything to add on Vegas or the Leafs losing to Boston? What you thought of that series? Because we're not going to have like a ton of time to break it down. We did break it down a bit on our Spaces preview show.
I would have liked some of the series maybe to get down a little bit quicker, but you know, it's more
you
of a
always
patience
get,
thing.
You,
I
you always
want to
get this
round.
Going. You want to rush life. Don't rush this. This is it's all about the journey, not the
but
destiny.
You know what? Finally good, like it looked or like early on in this first round, there weren't really going to be any competitive series. We ended up getting two game sevens. So, I mean, it was definitely fun, obviously heartbreaking for Maple Leaf fans. We'll talk more about that series later, but doing good and I'm ready to get round two started.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it maybe a little bit in comparison to Boston when we break them down, but we're not going to go into the Leafs much more. So we're going to leave that by the wayside. I know people will bring up Mitch Marner and the different things in our Spaces post-game shows, but you got to come join us there in our post-game shows because we go around the NHL and we're going to be live when these Western Conference series are going too. So make sure if you're not on Twitter X platform that you get signed up on there and join us in these post-game shows. They're pretty lively to say the least. But gentlemen, let's start here first with the Boston Bruins and the Florida Panthers. This year, the Boston Bruins season series, it went the way of the Bruins, 4-0. Bruins outscored the Panthers 13-8 in those four games. But three of those games were one-goal losses, and two of them were in overtime. Linus Ullmark started in three of the four wins, which right now they're running with Jeremy Swayman in net, and he's got a sparkling save percentage and statistics after one round against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Sergei Bobrovsky started in all four games for us, garnered a loss in all of those games. He's got a good win-loss record this year. You haven't really seen him kind of falter a lot during the regular season, but just for one reason or another, Boston had his number. But again, you guys can go into the injuries and the key players that we had out in those games. That also happened to be where Charlie McAvoy got his suspension with OEL. You're going to wonder if there's any retribution there. Brad Marchand had 8 points for the Boston Bruins in seven games played against the Leafs, 3 goals and 5 assists. He's going to be turning 36 years old this week. So you're going to wonder if he's going to keep that pace up for the Panthers. Tied for third in goals. Again, I don't know with reflecting on the Colorado-Dallas series. I haven't looked into those numbers, but as before that game, Carter Verhaeghe and Matthew Tkachuk had 9 points, so they were tied for third in playoff scoring, and then tied for third in goals was Carter Verhaeghe with 5, and then behind him, just slightly behind him, was Matthew Tkachuk and Sam Reinhart with 3. So kind of just breaking down some of the numbers there. Guys, I have some more numbers here. Just your opening outlook on this series. We'll get into the three key factors to this series in a little bit. But yeah, just tell me what your feelings are initially on this matchup.
Nick?
All right, I guess. An interesting stat that I saw with during the season series is that the Panthers did not register a power play goal. Their penalty kill was at around 84%, but the power play is 0%. So obviously that's going to need to change in this series. But my whole thoughts on the series based off the season, how our meetings versus the Bruins went in the season, we got to put a little bit of context on it. Remember that first game, the Panthers took that 2-0 lead, right? Bennett gets hurt in that game. We were already without Montour and Ekblad. And the Bruins come back and win it in overtime. And then there was about a – that was at the beginning of the season when our power play was struggling. If you go back and remember, there was a five-minute power play we had from that McAvoy hit you just mentioned, Kirby, that we didn't convert on. So there's one right there. A bunch of other ones. The second game, Barkov was not in. And then the final two games, Aaron Ekblad was not in. So – I think that my overall perception of this series is, you know, it's like, obviously people can look at the season series and be like, oh gosh, like Florida lost all four games. But like you said, there's no 3-on-3 and over in playoffs, which two of these games were decided by 3-on-3 overtimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in my personal opinion, I think a 7-game series, and we've talked about this in the past, Kirby, on this podcast and on the post-game Twitter X Spaces, about in a 7-game series, there's more room for adjustments, right? You're only playing the Boston Bruins now. It's not like, oh, you stop in Boston for a day and then you're going to the rest of whether you go to Canada or whatever, right? They're solely focused on the Boston Bruins. And I think, number one, I trust the coaching staff that they're going to be able to make the proper adjustments if needed. And I also think that the Panthers, again, coming off that 5-game series versus Tampa, another factor of this is, first of all, Boston just flew down from Boston the day after their Game 7 victory. And the Panthers haven't left the state of Florida since, what, April 6, was it? So I think that's going to be a big advantage here this series. And again, I think the Panthers' depth is going to play a key factor, and we'll get more into the specifics later.
Cody, just your initial thoughts?
I mean, just – playing Boston again is like kind of funny because, you know, like what happened last year, down 3-1, come back to beat them in a Game 7 overtime, unlike a team up north. But it's this series is just very interesting because, like, a lot of people like to use the regular season as like kind of like projections for this series. And as Nick stated earlier, I mean, like three of the games we were out with Ekblad. The last game we played against them, we were without Ekblad and Verhaeghe. So Boston's never played us fully healthy to a point. And all of them were pretty close games. The other one that wasn't a one goal game was a 2-1 game plus an empty netter.
And I think that's the game Barkov was out.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and I didn't even mention Verhaeghe. So yeah, I mean, like Panthers pretty much at full health despite Bennett being out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Boston was playing a different game at that point too, which they haven't played well here. Through right. This series with Toronto.
Because Boston started out the year hot. And I mean, it was yeah. they were blistering.
And, you know, the way I looked at it in that series, Kirby, I said it on our previous episode, a lot of the mistakes that Boston was making in Game 5 and Game 6, and even at points in Game 7 versus Toronto, were very similar to the mistakes that we saw last year against the Panthers in Game 5, 6, and 7. You know, how the forecheck that was getting to the Boston defensemen. They were turning the puck over. You could see that they were a little bit tense, especially in that Game 5 overtime, both this year and last year, right? So I think that playing to our game obviously is going to be key here, but, you know, the Bruins have shown that they can, first of all, I don't think they played well in the last multiple games, however far back you want to go, it's up to you. But I really think that, you know, the Bruins haven't played well. I think they're susceptible to defensive zone turnovers and the forecheck. They've shown it the past 2 years. And that's what the Panthers' plan is, to get in on the forecheck and really cause havoc, keep the puck in the offensive zone longer, forces the defenseman, gives the defenseman a higher percentage chance to make a mistake. And that's the Panthers' game.
Yep. And I'm trying to remember back. Well, before we get into the three key factors here, we got to give credit to the Boston Bruins where they have held the Atlantic Division lead for the lion's share of the season. The Panthers were the only other team, and I think there was maybe one other team very momentarily that might have held that position.
It may have been like a mixed mass of early in the season, like, you know, when the standings are like all wonky, having
like
first
week.
Right. It could have been Montreal for all we know.
Yeah, who knows, that week or two there. But yeah, the lion's share was by Boston, and then a small percentage to the Panthers, really, to hold down that top spot, which they ended up taking it away from Boston very late here in the regular season and held it down a few other points of this season. But yeah, give credit to Boston, because again, I had that team finishing 9th, 10th in the Eastern Conference. But let's get to our three key factors to this series. Now, Cody, you join on the episode that we broke down the Tampa Bay Lightning preview, and we had 5-on-5, keep it that way, you know, stay disciplined. I think we had in there win the goaltending battle, and obviously, like, not allowing Tampa Bay to get off on the power play and get their stars going. Those were, I think, a lot of the key points. Was there anything that I missed there, Cody?
Not really. I mean, and they pretty much hit all those key things, except probably maybe stay disciplined.
Like, yeah, which maybe it wavered a little bit during the series. Again, I thought the discrepancies in penalties were a little bit more obviously in favor of Tampa, but I didn't have a big problem with how the series was officiated. But I think our three key points to this series, factors, they might be maybe one similar one to the Tampa Bay one, but I think there's going to be differences here within this series. So whoever wants to start here for one of the key points, we'll try to go around the horn here. We'll kind of agree on three if we can.
I'll start.
Yep, go ahead, Cody. Or,
key number one, make anyone but David Pastrnak beat you.
Yes.
Unlike last year, and I know Marchand led them with 8 points this series against the Maple Leafs, and that's all fine and dandy. And I'm surprised that he still led them in points, to be honest with you. But here's the thing. And by the way, 6 of those points were on the power play, just so we're clear. So he wasn't killing Toronto 5-on-5, but it was all power play. But Boston, unlike last year, they don't have, you know, they don't have like all the guys around them anymore. They don't have the Krejci, the Bergeron, the Taylor Hall, the Tyler Bertuzzi's. They don't have that anymore. Like, all those guys are gone, namely Bertuzzi and Hall, who destroyed Florida last year in the playoffs. Destroyed them. Bertuzzi had like 10 points last year, I believe. It was something like crazy, like to that effect. Let me pull it up. Yeah, Bertuzzi had 10 points last year, 5 of them being goals. Bertuzzi had 5 goals and Taylor Hall had 5 goals. Both of those guys are gone here. And and who led him in assist? Dmitry Orlov, who's gone. Now it's mainly just the Pasta show.
So you're just talking the overall depth, you know, forwards.
I think there's like a correlation here. Like, Kirby, we were talking about before the Tampa Bay series. Like, I think Cody is the one that said, he's like, somebody asked, are you okay with letting Stamkos, letting Stamkos kind of beat you, right? Like, and Cody said, yeah, he is. It's kind of the same thought here. It's like, okay, well, when you're taking away, for example, in the previous series, you're taking away Point and Kucherov, there's somebody going to be there. There's going to be somebody that's going to step up. It happened to be Stamkos for them. I think that's kind of the case here. I'm like, I'd rather try to let Brad Marchand beat me than David Pastrnak, right? Yeah. And I think that's, and I agree with Cody here, that's got to be the thinking. It's like, we could kind of shut down Pastrnak or contain him and try to let Marchand beat us. Yep. There's going to be somebody, right?
And I don't even think we need to worry about Marchand beating us. You know,
Leave it up to him. Leave it up to him.
It's like,
but I don't expect him to go off like Steven Stamkos.
No,
I don't,
right, exactly. Yeah.
Marchand's more of a facilitator than he is a goal scorer, if anything. But
his size doesn't really allow him to get to areas on the ice. No. I just don't think it does at the age that he's at now.
Like, if you want to go with size, like, you probably could throw like Mikko Lamontor out there if you want to against that line, or if you want, you could throw Ekblad Forsling. Ekblad could play the body. But
hey, yeah, if Marchand split up from Pastrnak at any point, I wouldn't mind the Mikko Lamontor pairing being on Marchand, and then Forsley and Ekblad having to focus on Pastrnak with probably Barkov out there helping them.
Yeah, and that's just key number one for me. Like, just make Pasta's life a living hell.
Yeah,
because that's they just did it with the Art Ross Trophy winner.
Yeah,
they could do it again.
Yep, and don't let him get off because he got.
I actually have a second key that Cody just talked about. He talked about 5-on-5. I think the second key to this series is special teams, right? We talked about it on the Boston versus Florida preview spaces, Kirby. And I mentioned that Boston Bruins' power play was at 35% and their penalty kill was at 95%, meaning Toronto had less than a 5% on the power play. That, if it's, and it still went to seven games, imagine if it's not that lopsided, what the result ends up being, right? And if you take a look at, what the Panthers did in the first round, the story of this first round, it was like, okay, the penalty kill, like, okay, Vasilevskiy and the power play for Tampa Panthers were 80% on the penalty kill and 23.1% on the power play. Like you said, Cody, and like we've mentioned previously, Toronto and Boston, 5-on-5, were even on goals. The separating factor was the special teams. And if Boston is not converting at a 35% rate, which the way the Panthers' penalty kill has played, I would be very surprised if that is the case. If Boston does convert at that high of a rate, then, Boston might have an advantage here if they're able to capitalize on that power play. But
Are you talking they're even 5-on-5 during the head-to-head? Because in the playoffs, the Panthers were plus four, second in the NHL in the playoffs. Boston was minus two. They were tied for 12th. So there's a pretty big gap between that through one round.
Exact. So my point is, like, just don't let Boston absolutely dominate on the power. We've seen, like, last year in against Boston, their power play almost won them the series. We could not kill a penalty to save our lives. That's going to be my key, is like what we said. Marchand, how many points did you say Marchand had on the power
10.
play? So he had
This
10
year, oh no, this year, six. Six out of
in
his
the
eight.
pa okay, 6 out of his 8 points are on the power play. We need to limit that, clearly. And if their power play, I would like to keep the power play at around 20, 23% at a maximum for Boston in this series. But again, just the 35%,
23 is fine.
the 35% for Boston in the previous round really stuck out to me. And again, it was still a seven game series at that point.
Yeah.
What was Tampa Bay on the power play against us? Weren't they 20%?
They were at
23.
20%.
Like, was it 20? Dead on
20,
20?
was it?
I thought it was
It
20.
was,
I thought it was dead
yes,
on 20.
it
So
was
when you say a
exactly at
max,
20%.
when you're saying a maximum of 20, Nick, I'm not putting that number there. I think we're fine if it's around that 20, 22% range. North of that 23, 25, then
Yep.
you're
That's
asking
when
for
I
a little
start to get a
bit
little
more.
worried.
Yeah. But I'm fine with
And
around 20%. I'm going to take that.
just to like give everyone a little precursor. Last year in the series against us, Boston went 40% on the power play, which was the main reason why they were in that series to begin with.
Well, we couldn't figure out the special teams to save our life against them.
And
We couldn't even get set up on the power play
on the flip
with
side
their
of
penalty
that
kill.
is we have to be able to convert at a decent rate on the power play as well, right? We saw
Yeah,
what
just
happened 2 years
timely
ago.
goals.
Just timely goes like exactly like 23%, the power play, but there
So
were
you weren't happy with that number?
no, I'm fine with that number, but like a lot over the course, like people are saying the power play needs work, whoever, right? There's that Barkov goal in game one, was it on the power play to Verhaeghe? So just like Cody said, timely goals like that, it
Like,
makes
yeah, I
all the
don't
difference in
again,
the world.
I think Vasilevskiy was a key penalty killer for them. Like,
Yeah.
again, like we're not giving credit to what he kind of did in that series because you look at his numbers. He made some big saves on the
But
power
then,
play and different things like
Tampa
that.
did a great job pressuring Florida on the power play. There were power plays in that series where Florida couldn't get set up either. Like,
But
it was.
yeah, there was a few that we couldn't set up. The one that, Barkov and Montour were playing pitch and catch sticks in my mind. But I think we
Yeah.
had zone time and we're able to get some stuff established. The second power play unit gave up a goal against, which I don't
Yeah.
love. I wanted to have the power play one out there. That could happen again with Boston. They're very opportunistic. The DeBrusks, Pasternak's, Marchand's, McAvoy can spring a guy or jump up in a rush if he gets out there late in a penalty killing shift or role. So again, I don't know. I'm a little worried on that aspect. But I think, gentlemen, I think we're fine, like on the special teams. Anything else on that point there? Because I kind of had one that we have talked about a little bit here that I think will be key to watch that we talked about actually in our Spaces preview show. So would you guys like me to get to the
Yeah,
third one, I guess?
go right ahead.
Yeah,
Yeah, go right ahead.
let's go with like controlling the neutral zone. And I think, and I'm gonna add to that, controlling the neutral zone and letting that clock just tick, 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 just tick away. Like it did to Tampa Bay, especially at on home ice in games one, game two, and especially in game five, that third period. We just let that clock tick away, keep it 5-on-5, like you guys say, but control that neutral zone. And the thing that I noticed watching the Boston-Toronto series very closely, I know they went to 7 games, but if you kind of average the numbers out, I believe both of those teams combined are very top of the list with defensive zone turnovers, according to Money Puck. So Boston played kind of into Toronto's hand at time where they were sloppy in their own zone, giving pucks up. And if they're going to just flip pucks out or turn over pucks in their own zone, then the Panthers are going to be spending a lot of time in Boston's zone. And that's going to wear Boston down as the game goes along. But I don't want fans to panic early on if we're in a tight game, because I think a lot of these games are going to be tight checking, low scoring, especially with the goaltenders, Bobrovsky and Swayman. Just stick with our plan. Win the neutral zone. Win little battles within battles, win shift by shift. And if you start to put that together against Boston, our skill, like Cody talked about, our depth, their lack of depth this year, is going to end up playing out. Then it comes down to like a goaltending battle, maybe a special teams goal here or there. But I think like controlling the neutral zone, having a lot of puck possession, and obviously like how good our forecheck is against them, it'll be tough, you know, in the first game there, maybe not to have Sam Bennett. But the way that Landell has been forechecking on that line with Tkachuk and Verhaeghe, the way that Verhaeghe forechecks when playoff time comes around, the way that third line's getting going, maybe Erod gets really going now with that goal in game 5. Again, I liked how he played in game 4 against Tampa. Control that neutral zone. You can start to roll all four of your lines early in the game if you stay out of the penalty box. And then you get the Kevin Stanlands, the Stephen Lawrences of the world, they start to get confident, Nick Cousins, and then we start coming in weight on these Boston Bruins. And as much as, you know, you might like some of their guys down their lineup, Beecher, I know, Nick, you like Frederick a lot, but you start to wear down Boston's overall depth. You get in on their defense on the forecheck, you mix that in with your neutral zone play, then I think it's going to be a handful. It's Cody, it's going to look a lot like what Washington did to us a couple years ago in the neutral zone, getting frustrated. Like Boston's getting one shot almost through half a game against Toronto, like 3 shots through half a game. That's not,
it's, and, no, it's like,
yep, go ahead.
And you sit there as a Panther fan and you're watching the game, and it's just like Toronto doesn't even have nowhere near the forecheck that we do. If you're having problems with that forecheck, what do you think you're going to be like against us?
And how are you going to get going in the neutral zone offensively, like you've talked about, Cody, with Boston? It's not even what they're doing defensively in the neutral zone. It's like, them like getting out of their own zone and getting the puck like, through. And you don't have the centers that we have.
Yeah. And look at what Tampa did. Tampa tried to take the neutral zone completely out, because remember, they tried to do stretch passes all the game, all series. Stretch pass.
Yep.
They tried to take the neutral zone out of play.
And they were good at converting on those stretch passes. But remember what I said. They have to complete the stretch pass, which they did. Then they got to make another play, which sometimes they did or they couldn't against our defense. And then the third thing is, oh, now you got to beat Bobrovsky. So good luck on Boston, you know, doing that three-step process over and over and over again to get pucks in the back of our net by, you know, trying to utilize the stretch pass.
And another thing is, it's just like, I felt like a lot of times Toronto just couldn't bury any chances. Like Swayman was good, was phenomenal that in the series, but he had great numbers. But I'm not sitting there and I'm like, dude, he stole that. Like, I don't feel like he was their best player in that series, but he wasn't like god levels. Like, he wasn't like, you know, Vasi in like 2022, or like, heck, Bob against Carolina last year. I don't think it was any close to that levels.
Yeah, and I don't want to get deep into Toronto here, Cody, but they can be like, oh, we've gone against Vasilevskiy twice now, Swayman this year, Bobrovsky last year, which, you know, was close to God level, but he even hit another level, I would say, in the Carolina series. They could look at that and be like, you know, we got goalied here and there, but I don't think they were goalied in that series. There was bigger things at play there for both teams, you know, that didn't get the job done through 7 games until the very end. We didn't know who was going to pull it out.
It's just, if Boston thinks they can get away with the same mistakes that they got away with in Toronto, because they got away with a lot. I mean, a lot. Like, they turned the puck over so much, but luckily for them, Toronto is not good at cycling and not good at, like, getting that kind of and developing plays off of the cycle. That's what got them out of that series. Because a lot of that series, I felt, it just looked like two teams that were playing games that they were uncomfortable with. Like, that's just what it felt like to me, because games 5 and 6 were some horrible hockey. And I mean horrible.
Yeah, it was bad. We've seen some bad hockey throughout this first round. You've seen some exciting play, but you know, some of the overtime game against
I felt it was
Vegas and Dallas.
A lot of it was just, like I said this on the preview spaces, like I come away with the series, I'm like, I'm not really sure the better team in that series even won. And when Cody makes a good point, if Boston can't is having trouble with that forecheck, right? But what are they going to do with the Panthers forecheck? And guys like McAvoy and Lindholm, they have to step up. And there's
Lindholm did step
and
up.
Lindholm
McAvoy
did in
was
game seven.
Horrible. He was horrible.
Was as bad as Kucherov was.
And, you know, it's just going to be an interesting thing. Because, like, I look at game five and game six particularly, right? And it's like, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I don't think Toronto did anything particularly special. Which is kind of like, and Boston was brutal in game five and six.
Yeah.
So it's very odd to me, because I'm not usually seeing that, used to seeing that from the Boston Bruins. And it was just so eerily similar to what I saw last year against the Panthers, and Bruins came away with it this year. But it was very, not even just like everybody could talk about, oh, the games paralleled the way the results went. I'm just talking about the mistakes they're making were the same exact mistakes.
Yep.
So,
yep. Guys, we're going to go rapid fire here before we go to break. Positional edge, just be quick with this rapid fire. Just give me, like, you know, one sentence or less, whoever wants to jump in. Positional edge, we'll start with forwards.
Florida,
Boston, who do you
Florida.
Favor?
Florida.
Our entire top six scored 20 goals this year.
And Boston losing all the bodies in the offseason.
Yeah, and do we have to talk about the center depth?
Yeah.
Oh, I think that'll be a
even
main
without Sam Bennett. Even without Sam Bennett, I'd pretty much say Florida.
Yeah, I don't even think it's necessarily close. Defense, edge, Florida, Boston. Why?
Oh, now this is close.
I'll say a wash.
I might lean Boston here.
But it really depends on how Charlie McAvoy plays.
Yeah.
That's the key for me.
If McAvoy's...
I'll lean Florida if Kulikov and OEL played like they did last round. And again, Andrew Peak is out for Boston. People don't like him, whatever. Yep. I thought he was decent quality for them. He's injured. He's banged up. They don't got a lot of depth back there. They've got an older Kevin Shattenkirk. They've got Witherspoon back there. Which,
Mason,
you know,
Leroy, who was great in that Toronto series.
Leroy is good. But again, we got Forsling, Ekblad, Monter. Like, we're going to get into some spotlight players.
I'm going to lean Boston, because if McAvoy gets his stuff together, he can be the best. He will be the best defenseman in this series.
But that's where, if you're Ekblad and Forsling, like, you should be able to counteract that. You know,
yeah.
you don't. It's not Hedman, Sergachev, and Sergachev wasn't healthy last round either.
Yeah, it's just that's like, I'll lean Boston here.
Okay, and me and Nick are Florida then.
Yeah,
I'll say for me it's a wash, but I really think, like, again, it for me, like, there's two key factors. It's McAvoy, how he plays, and then, you know, like you said, if Ekblad and Forsling could counteract that.
Brandon Montour was the best defenseman in the series last year. So if Ekblad and Forsling can bring it, I don't see no reason why we can't beat this less stacked Boston decor that's without Dmitry Orlov and other pieces just in the depth positions
Forbert.
Up front. Sorry?
Derek
Forbert.
Forbert.
Yeah. Yeah. Clifton, who wasn't great last year. Grizzlick, we don't know what's going on exactly.
He's been I think he's not a Montgomery guy. That's, I think, one thing I'm learning.
Well, yeah, they should have maybe figured that out there last year, right?
Wasn't he part of the healthy scratch last year?
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
Because remember,
yeah,
they
the
kept
rotation.
Switching him and they kept switching him and Clifton.
Yeah.
And in the games they won, freaking Grizzlick was in, and the games they lost, Clifton was in.
Mm-hmm. Two more guys, goaltending.
Oh, my
are
mind
we
died.
Considering both here, or is it just purely starting goaltender?
You can only start one goalie.
So
Bob, oh man, I don't know. This is close.
I don't know, man. Like,
I'm gonna go slightly in Florida with Bob.
If it, I lean Florida because of, like, because of track record,
mm-hmm.
and goaltending the track record position.
This is the one I'll listen to.
Like Swayman, it's closer than a lot of people. Like, a lot of people listening to this prize, like, are you serious? Bob is definitely the better one.
They're like, he's the Vezina winner, you know. It's like, oh,
I'll. And I like as close as it can get, I'll do like the slightest lean to Florida. But it's like a coin flip, really, for me.
I'll be devil's advocate. I'll lean swimming. I don't know. It's so close.
Like there's it's almost a wash, really.
Yeah. And then what, coach? Last one?
Yeah, coach, last one.
Money Maurice, of course.
Oh, Nick's not throwing his wash label out there.
No, absolutely not. Paul Maurice.
I think Montgomery has a lot of adjustments to make, not only what happened in the Charles series, but what happened to him and Maurice last year.
I think a lot of question marks are surrounding Montgomery, and I don't think them beating Toronto in that seventh game is changing a lot of it.
I didn't like a lot of things that Montgomery did on the ice for adjustments, and I didn't like a lot of things he did off the ice with the media and how he kind of answered questions and things like that.
We're going to go with prison rules, Paul Maurice.
There we go.
So I'd say across the board, kind of, we're giving the Panthers quite a bit of a large lean here in the series, as we'll get into our spotlight players here, our X-Factor players, and our series prediction. And yes, Nick will be joining us for that and giving his predictions this time around. But as we just go to a little break here, we're going to let everyone know about Caneswear. Panthers Fever is here. Are you geared up? Caneswear and Davey is the place for all your Florida Panthers needs. They have the latest gear for our favorite NHL team. Jerseys, polos, t-shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. Caneswear has you covered. Stop by their store in Davey or at PanthersWear.com. Again, that's PanthersWear, WEAR.com. And right now, they have on a lot of feature specials with Eastern Conference Championship merchandise. There's a lot of things at heavily discounted rates. So make sure to check out some of their playoff gear and some of the other discount gear that's on right now. So again, that's PanthersWear, WEAR.com for all your... All right, and this is one of my favorite segments of the year, and we're blessed to do it here yet again for the second round of the NHL playoffs. Our spotlight players, top five, and it's even a little extra spicy for this edition because Nick's joining us this time. So all three of us are going to give our spotlight players, top five. We haven't shared our lists. We've kept them secret from one another, and as you guys will hear one by one, you'll hear how we reveal this list, unveil our list. We're going to go with Nick first, and you're going to start from 5-1. Take your time. Let us know why you're picking each player, you know, right, a couple sentences. Let us know why. And then at the end of the series, each one of us are going to grade each other. So we'll grade Nick. Me and Cody will grade Nick. And then, you know, Cody will grade me and Nick, you know, and vice versa all the way around. So, okay. So Nick, you start us off here. Spotlight players, top five can be on the Bruins, Panthers, whatever, starting at number five.
So, starting at number one, I have
all right, five.
Oh, we want to start at number five. All right,
five. What the hell are you doing?
What's he doing?
Like, seriously? Starting at number five, we have your guy Kirby Money Montour.
Here we go. I had him on my list last year against Boston.
I think that you know he got some heat, you know, for his performance in round one. Really liked his
heat?
Performance in round
he got
one.
Heat?
Who got on Twitter? Who are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You see the tweets?
Oh my god!
You see the tweets on Twitter?
What no, tweets? Nick always says this. No, I did it.
Okay. Anyway,
what are you
I'm
talking
go
about?
Brandon Montour. I think if like what we talked about previously, if we're gonna want to get the power play going, he's gonna be a big reason why.
So you need and him to get going on the power play for your. For your list to
yeah, really you know, just get in the traffic in front, getting those shots through what we saw last year. And, you know, what we saw like against Tampa and even the final game against Toronto, winding up and taking that slap shot. So I really think Brandon Montour, right. You know, like
and
he says, like he just
looked to beat Swayman high, you know, yep. Like he beat Vassy there.
And I think that Brandon Montour, you know, the intensity and physicality of this series, the nastiness, I think it fits him really well. So I'm going to go with Brandon Montour at number five.
Already like Nick's list.
Number four. Gonna go with a guy that really, like, we all know, like, this guy is Mr. Clutch. It's Carter Verhaeghe. What he did in the first round was absolutely unbelievable, both with the Lundell and the Barkov line. Him and Tkachuk have amazing chemistry. And I just think Verhaeghe's gonna have to score big time goals. He's gonna have to show up in big time moments. And, you know, I think, you know, I really just think for him, like, again, for me, it's just that's just who he is. He's like kind of Mr. Playoffs in a sense. I couldn't have a top five list without Carter Verhaeghe. So that's
so
number four.
Carter Verhaeghe, number four. I left him off my list last
number
round.
Three, I think it's going to be David Pastrnak. I think he's too good to not be a top five player in the series. I know he wasn't last series against.
Yeah, he went qualify Toronto. Last series, even though he scored that
but
game.
I just think, you know, he got that overtime goal in game seven. And I think that's going to get him going a little bit. And he, in my opinion, he's just too much of a talented player. He's too talented of a player to not be effective and impactful in this series. I think you have to go with David Pastrnak at number three.
Number
two. Another somebody that Verhaeghe is going to be lined up with. It's Alexander Barkov. And, you know, in game five, that line with him, Tkachuk and Verhaeghe, they were outstanding. And you just see what Barkov was able to do in game one and particularly in game five. I think he carries that over into round two.
You think that he's going to stay with Barkov and it comes back in the lineup. You've liked Verhaeghe on the second line.
I have, but, you know, Bennett is out tomorrow. And for me personally, I just love Tkachuk and Verhaeghe with Barkov together so much. It's just a stacked line. I think you kind of have to do it, especially based off how last game went. And I think you just see how Barkov played in that first round, right? And even when he wasn't putting up points, he was shutting down Kucherov. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be one of the best players on the ice.
Barkov has to be better in this series than he was in the Boston series. He didn't get going until like game five last year.
But if you take
Boston.
A look at the last three series that he's played in, this Tampa one, the Vegas one, and Carolina one, Kirby, he was our best player, or one of the best. He was one of the best players on the ice, and he seemed to have figured it out, right? Especially in the playoffs. And I think
you're going to go with that trend. You're not going with matchups. You're going with that trend.
I'm going with that trend. Number one, it's the final line mate on that top line that I just talked about. It's Matthew Tkachuk. Really, for me, my thinking behind this top five list is seeing that top line. I think they were so good in game five. I think they're just such incredible individual players that against the Boston team, you know, that does lack some forward depth. I think each of these players are going to be like, no matter who they line up against, right? I think Tkachuk, Verhaeghe, Barkov, they're all going to complement each other so well. And I think this is a Tkachuk kind of series, you know? I think he was really good in round one. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit more, maybe the points maybe probably prop up his performance a little bit more than I thought of it, right? But I think, you know, as we go further on in the playoffs, hopefully to go on a deep run, I think Tkachuk's going to have to rise to the occasion. And, you know, he's playing with Alexander Barkov and Carter Verhaeghe. So I just think, for me, that Matthew Tkachuk has to be the best player in this series, and I think he will be.
Has to be, okay. I had Matthew Tkachuk number one last series against Tampa. So, again, your list, number five, Brandon Montour. Number four, Carter Verhaeghe.
Correct.
Number three, David Pastrnak. Number two, Alexander Barkov. And number one, Matthew Tkachuk.
Correct. You got a couple names on there I don't have.
Yeah, I think he'll have a couple. Yeah, I think a couple on there. Now, any honorable mentions? You can have
I do have two honorable mentions. Jeremy Swayman was right there at number five for me. We talked about the goaltending already and how incredible he was against Toronto. I do think that he's going to continue that success. How good will he be? I don't know, but I definitely think he's going to be right at that top five, and he could exceed that expectation. Okay. And then the other one, we talked about the power play with Brandon Montour. If we want to get the power play going with him, another guy that has to get going is Sam Reinhart. And I think him being reunited with that Lundell and Lost Arena line that dominated the back end of that Boston series last year, and the fact that, you know, different series, and I don't think Reinhart played terrible, but I think that game five performance, especially for him defensively, really was great to see. He was outstanding in game five, and I think being reunited with Lundell, who seems to have a lot of confidence right now, and Lost Arena, and who he has chemistry with, I think Reinhart's going to be right there as well.
So no Sergei Bobrovsky and no Charlie McAvoy stand out to me on your list. No Gustav Forsling, no Aaron Ekblad, no Brad Marchand. So those guys all off your list there. Okay. Good list by Nick. I don't mind it by initial look. Cody, you want me to go next or you?
Yeah, go right ahead. I want to hear.
Okay. I'll save the honorable mention for the end like Nick did. Should I do it that way?
Yeah.
Okay. At number five, I did not have him on my list. And last round against Tampa Bay, and I think that's what hurt me in my grading of this particular position, because I had his counterpart on my list in the top five. I'm going with Sergei Bobrovsky as my number five. The way that Boston has struggled to produce offense, to get anything going through the neutral zone, like I mentioned earlier, I know their power play has been electric, but even if that cools off a bit, that's going to be in favor of Bobrovsky. I think our penalty killers up front have been really good, especially our forwards. I've got on our defense a little bit, namely Aaron Ekblad and Gustav Forsling, but Sergei Bobrovsky is the last line of defense back there, and I think he's going to come up big on two-on-ones. Those breakaways that you saw in the Toronto and Boston series when it was kind of sleepy hockey and you're like, uh-oh, someone's getting away here on a breakaway. They're getting an opportunity here. I think that's where Bob comes up with the big quality saves when we need them. I think he'll be big at times on our penalty kill. And 5-on-5, we're just a superior team. This could be a series where Bob, you know, maybe isn't our best player, isn't the number one spotlight player, but he could garner one or two shutouts in this series because Boston has lacked offense. And it comes at a premium for them. And I think Sergei Bobrovsky will be a good foil for the Boston Bruins to potentially go home early in this first round. Number four, Nick had him on his list too. I think Nick had him a little bit higher. But at number four, I have David Pasternak. I just wanted to say that. Wanted to put him on here. He is a Panther killer at times. He is the guy that we have to lock down, that we have to defend. Last year we got physical with him. There was an instant last year where Brandon Montour put him down at the end of a period and kind of stood over top of him. He still kept going after that a bit. He didn't start cooling down till the very end, till I don't know, even in game seven, I think he was still going on us. Game six, he played very well against the Panthers. He was a constant force against the Panthers throughout that series. If Boston has any chance in this series of going 6-7 games, it's going to be Pasternak. He's going to have to get off 5-on-5 on the power play in clutch moments. Could pull a game-winning goal out of his hat here again against the Panthers. So got to add a Boston Bruin on there at number four. But if you see my list here coming up, it's very Panthers heavy, and you'll see later why, where I have this series predicted at. Number three, I had him in my honorable mention last time. Big L there. I just didn't think he was going to come up with those moments. Well, without a doubt, I think he's coming up with those these moments yet again in this series against Boston Bruins. It's Carter Verhaeghe. He probably doesn't even have to be quite as good as he was in the Tampa Bay series in the consistency level. But if he scores 1-2 game-winning goals, 1-2 overtime goals, I think in this type of series, he'll easily make the top five list. He'll probably be doing the little things well, you know, the forechecking, getting in on the Boston defenders. I love how Carter Verhaeghe kind of elevates his play at this time of the year. And he not only does it offensively, but he does it in the little things in his game with the forechecking, getting pucks turned over. Like I mentioned earlier, Boston, high turnover team in the defensive zone in that Toronto series. One of the highest, if not the highest, in these NHL playoffs. So Carter Verhaeghe will be key there. And number three, my number two guy. I had him at number one last round. I kind of wanted to put him there again. I tussled back and forth where I was going to go 1-2. But I think if he's at number two, it'll be good enough. Matthew Tkachuk, one of the guys that owns the Boston Bruins, along with Brandon Montour, Carter Verhaeghe. These guys got to be in some of these Boston Bruins' heads. And Matthew Tkachuk on the road when we go to Boston, I think is going to put up big performances. Curious to see what he does in game one and two at home. But I think he's going to be a force on the road for us and has to be one of our best players on the road to steal a game in Boston or potentially steal two games in Boston. So I'm going to go Matthew Tkachuk, number two. Please, Matthew, raise the puck against Swayman. You know, that tuck-in job around the net on the power play, that's not going to work. So you got to get that backhand up. You got to get that wrist shot off. And you got to get it high on Swayman to be able to beat Swayman. So if Matthew Tkachuk does that, I think he's going to register a lot of points in this series. And he registers points anyway very, very quietly. So number two, Matthew Tkachuk. And my number one, I didn't even have him on my list last time. I don't even know if I had him in my honorable mention last time. But a guy that me and Cody are high on, that we said would lead the Panthers last year in points. Well, he did that this year with the Panthers. It's Sam Reinhart. I think this is a Sam Reinhart series. I think, you know, Nick mentioned about our power play getting going. If our power play gets going, the focal point is going to be Sam Reinhart. It's not going to be necessarily Brandon Montour. It's not going to be Alexander Barkov. It's not going to be Matthew Tkachuk with tips and deflections. It's going to be Reinhart in that bumper spot, scoring big goals on the power play, scoring goals in the first period, scoring goals in the third period. doesn't matter, scoring a goal in overtime. And he's been very clutch historically with Boston. If you go back to last year when we split the series 2-2 with the President's Trophy winner Boston Bruins, he scored, I think, what was it, the game-winning goal? I think he might have had a game-tying goal. He had big moments last year against the Boston Bruins. And obviously throughout this season, he's been one, if not our most, our top player, our most consistent player. So I want to give Sam Reinhart some love here in this series. I'm going to go Sam Reinhart number one. Honorable mentions to Jeremy Swayman. So what I'm saying there is that Sergei Bobrovsky will slightly outduel him, but I really want to put him on my list. That save percentage right now has historic numbers. It's going back to Braden Holtby in 20, what year was that? 2016, Cody, with that save percentage in that first round. I think it was Braden Holtby. Yeah, and then it was Jake Ottinger against the Flames in 22.
I think so. Yeah. Wait, which Ottinger?
Yeah. Ottinger against
22.
The Flames.
Yeah.
22. Yeah. So Swayman put up a save percentage rivaling those two goaltenders last round against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Want to put him on this list, but I think he's not going to get as much help in this series, and the Panthers are going to come in waves at him. So again, he'll slightly be off my list. A little bit lesser where I had Vasilevskiy. And my other honorable mention, Alexander Barkov. It's crazy for me to leave him off, I believe, on both of these series. I think the Alexander Barkov series, and I've said it for the last few months, will come in Eastern Conference Finals if and hopefully we get there. That would be against the Rangers or Carolina. I think I'm going to have them very high on my list against either one of those matchups. Right. Again, I just don't feel this is an Alexander Barkov series, and it doesn't necessarily have to be, guys. So, yeah, there's my list. Nick? Cody?
Just my quick thoughts on it. Really like how you have Bob at number five and then Swayman at as the honorable mention. How close were they to you, like, in your opinion? Like, what was the, I guess, the margin for you?
Pretty close. Head to head, like, it's almost like you said earlier, like a wash at that
the only
position.
Thing I
but
might
I'm looking
say,
at the team I'm looking at the team
the only thing I might say is an individual sweat. Like, I think both goalies are going to be good. The only thing I would say is if it's going to be a close series, I think Swayman is going to get tested a lot more than Bobrovsky.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe
Swayman's got to come out with some big saves and wins, I think, to get that over Bob. If he's getting the wins, he has a little bit of cushion that he doesn't have to quite be as good as Swayman.
Mm-hmm.
If we're winning games and we're up in the series 2-0, 3-1, Swayman's going to have to really pull some magic out there on the ice to kind of be above Bobrovsky. And we're not just going to necessarily look at the save percentage or the numbers. We're going to look at the entirety of the games and who's most consistent during the length of the series.
Yep. Save percentage doesn't matter in playoffs. Timely saves do. Wow. So, all right, I guess I'll roll with my top five. My number five guy, neither of you had on your list. Neither of you even had him in your honorable mentions, which is interesting to me. But because I think if this guy plays well, it could cause the Panthers problems. My number five is Charlie McAvoy.
I knew you were going defense there. Didn't know Forsner or McAvoy, but I thought maybe it was McAvoy.
He's a top 10 defenseman in the NHL for a reason. I mean, he's gotten this far or has gotten this kind of rapport for a reason. Then again, he's become more of a dirty player in the last couple of years. But
it's hard for you to put him on there. And again, he wasn't top five last year against us, Cody.
No.
You know, on this list.
But he was probably part of the reason why they didn't beat us last. He was probably a big reason why. Because he had games like games 1, 3, and 4 where he was great. He was great in those games. And then, but games 2, 5, 6, 7, horrible.
Horrible. Yep.
Just in, I think he has that kind of difference making. Because here's the thing, McAvoy can beat you from the top of the serve, from the blue line. He can beat you from there. And you've seen a couple games in the regular season here. He can move down and beat you with his rush out a couple more times. But the thing is just, can he handle the forecheck? Can he stop turning over the pucks in their defensive zone? Can he make the outlet passes that are needed to beat the Panthers forecheck? That's why I have him at my number five spot.
Yep. Okay.
Number four, once again, I mean, had this, I don't really remember if I had him. Did I have this guy on my top five last time? Not sure. But I'm rolling with Sam Reinhart, number four. If we talk about special teams, you can't help but mention, but with Florida and special teams, you can't help but remember who Sam Reinhart is. I mean, led us in shorthanded goals, led us in power play goals. He is our short. He has been our special teams this entire season, and I think you're gonna have to get him more involved on the power play here. Maybe not with the bumper play, but maybe, you know, get him some tips out in front, maybe,
Okay.
or get him more into the slot because he has a shot. Let's see him rip it a couple times, maybe. Maybe just one of them will find the back of the net here. At number
Okay.
three, this guy needs no introduction, David Pastrnak. I mean, you last year he scored timely goals. Heck, he scored the goal that made Boston take the lead in game seven prior to Montour tying it with a minute left. And let's not forget here, he scored the goal of the playoffs at the time, but it was completely forgotten because they lost the game. Remember on the power play, he went in between the legs and top shelf on Bob? Like, that goal was elite, and it was completely forgotten because I bet you guys haven't even mentioned that goal in a minute, huh?
Yeah, it's been a while with all that wacky game six, how that played out. Obviously, the game five overtime winner with Matthew Tkachuk, and then the game seven tying goal by Monter, and then the game winning goal by Verhaeghe. It gets lost in the shuffle, and you're on the losing
Yeah.
side of the ledger there. So it does get kind of muddled in there. So you have Pastrnak at three. I think, Nick, didn't you have him at three?
I did.
And I have him at four. So you guys kind of have a lean there. If Boston comes out in this series, but you guys having him that high up the list, it's going to indicate to me that Boston has to be in a lot of these games, winning some of these games. And if not, that he's just a one-man show out there, because you guys having him that high up, he's got
I
to
mean,
kind of outperform
he
the players
has been a
around.
one-man show out there. Are you kidding me?
Well, he was pretty invisible in the Toronto series,
Yeah,
you know.
but how they got to the playoffs entirely.
If he plays like he did against us last year, he's a top three guy, I would say, in this series.
Yeah, I mean,
But he's going to have to do that.
here's why. Because Bob in the regular season, Pastrnak had 110 points. The next highest guy was Brad Marchand with 67. It was the Pasta show. He damn near doubled the second guy in points. It was
But
his show.
like you said with the goalies, Cody, they need to come up with the big saves. It's not all about save percentage.
Yeah.
Pastrnak's got to come up with the big moments, the big times in this series,
Yeah.
not just register a point, secondary assists here. Oh, he got points there. You know, he's got to be impactful to be in the top
Yeah.
three players in this series, spotlight
Yeah.
player.
But like, if he's not impactful, Boston's out pretty quickly. Let's be real here. Number
Yes.
two, I have the guy who was the best forward last year for Florida in this series, Matthew Tkachuk.
So me and you got him at number two.
Yep. I just feel like it's not really an entirely a Tkachuk series. I feel like this series is just going to be more about team structure than a particular player for Florida.
I don't think he has to carry this team on his back, and that's even
No.
with Bennett banged up,
No. I
which
mean, with
is
the way
kind of scary
Lundell's
to say,
With
no.
when with the way Lundell's played, he really hasn't had to carry that line when they were together.
There's people in the national pundits, people on Twitter, they're like, Matthew Tkachuk looks more hungry this year than last year. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, he can work his way into the game this year.
He
Last year, he had to pull and drag us with Brandon Montour and Ito Luostarinen. And then later on, Bob, when he turned into God mode. Like, there was players that had to drag us,
but
you know,
this
into the
year,
fight.
like in the Tampa series, he I wouldn't say hungry. I just felt like he was just the pan.
Measured.
They were just confident and measured and knew what they had to do.
Yep.
I didn't get that feeling like they were gripping their. I feel like in game four, they were probably gripping their sticks a bit because Tampa came at them really quickly. But they came back with three goals to make it a one goal game, and then the third
Yeah.
period happened. But
And you build on that for the next game, which they did.
Tkachuk was like, Tkachuk made a lot more of the little plays, and you know, he still scored. But it wasn't like last year where it was just like, oh, it's all him.
Remember
But
that Boston series early on where he scored that goal off the weird bounce? He's flying around out there. I don't think he has to do that this year.
not really.
No. No.
Unless we have a couple injuries, that's the only way.
But again, we got
But
to have him up there. He collects the points, the big moments. So me and you both have Matthew Tkachuk at number two.
yep. And at number one, the guy who broke Bruins' hearts last year. The
Oh.
clutchest player in the NHL,
Oh, Cody's going here.
going with Swaggy C, Carter Verhaeghe.
Well, the Carter Verhaeghe stands are going to love this from Cody.
I mean,
And I love it too at this time of the year. I can't deny.
I mean, at this point, you can't. I mean, we're stupid. We left him off the top five. Hell, we didn't even have him as an honorable mention.
Well, we had the Panthers at seven. Yeah, that's the thing. The 1-5. You're thinking like, yeah, there'd be some overtime games there, which there was. And he scores in overtime, like he does. So every time you ask, so who's going to score in overtime? Like, you'd be dumb not to pick Verhaeghe with your first selection.
But here's why. Verhaeghe, in my opinion, is going to have minimum 3 goals this series.
Okay. On the record for there, minimum 3.
Because
okay.
If you go watch games 5, 6, and 7 for Boston, they collapsed the house on Jeremy Swayman. And you know what that does? It screens him. And who is the best sniper on this team? And who? And for some unknown reason, Nick Kirby, can y'all answer this for me? Why do teams continue to give this guy space?
Yeah, that was a big problem with Boston.
He will
year.
Always have space. I don't get why. Are you not watching? Check the game notes. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, maybe Tampa did a better job on him than Washington or Boston did or Toronto did.
Carolina left him in space.
Carolina left him in space. Tampa might
be. I mean,
I'd
argue
better.
With that, Kirby, but he still finished with. He was the top scorer on the team, and you know.
Well, I didn't think he had a complete daylight against Tampa.
No, but I mean, he finds open ice. Like that's an. We talk about like Pasternak. Like remember that one game at home, the 4-3 win for Boston at home. We talk about Pasternak finding open ice. You see how Verhaeghe did it this series, you know, the overtime winner, the backdoor play by Barkov. It's an underrated ability of his finding open ice and being kind of
didn't
sneaky
Brandon
and
Montour find him?
deceptive.
Didn't Brandon Montour find him once?
I'm trying to think. What
thought there was a cross ice pass.
Last year in the series or in the regular season?
No, in the Tampa series. For a goal.
I'm trying to think.
In Tampa. That goal in Tampa. Wasn't that off of Brandon Montour feed?
What goal?
I
No,
could be
I think
wrong.
That was off.
Oh, that was Lorenz, I think you're referring to. The Montour slap shot?
No, the Verhaeghe goal. Didn't he score in Tampa?
He did, but it was off Tkachuk. It wasn't like
off
Kachuk.
Montour. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, just like that's a. When you think of Carter Verhaeghe, you don't really think of sneaky or deceptive, but that's an underrated ability of his,
he
finding
just
open
finds
ice.
space.
Like,
yep.
Really.
And even the limited space, I'll say that Tampa gave him, he still makes you pay,
But yeah,
which is remarkable.
but yeah, I mean, I'd be remiss
Okay.
not to have him in my top five. I have 3 honorable mentions.
Yeah, go through your 5-1 again, Cody, just very fast.
1, Verhaeghe. 2, Tkachuk. 3, Pasternak. 4, Reinhart. 5, McAvoy.
Okay, and then your honorable mentions, if
I
you
had
got one on
3.
each side. Oh, we only had two. Can you limit it or no?
No. Barkov and both goalies.
Okay, so Barkov and Swayman, you're with me there. I don't even think,
I had
Nick, you had.
Barkov, Swayman, and Bob. Those are my 3.
Well, if I did have a third honorable mention, it probably would be Bobrovsky. But, you know, I really just think that. I really think that the lack of depth up front for Boston, I really don't think he's going to have to be that spectacular.
So I'll win it. I'll win a point if Bobrovsky. Is a factor in this series because you guys don't have the goalies.
I think he's
five.
I think he's top 10 player for sure, but I
oh, well,
spotlight
of course.
like but
yeah, spotlight. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't characterize it as that.
Yeah, it's just like
I will if he's pulling shutouts. I don't care if it's 18 saves, 22 saves. You know,
if it's 18
okay.
saves, if it's,
yeah,
like
if it's 18 saves, then it's like, you know,
if it's like 18 saves and they're like shooting
no.
it from outside the faceoff circle, I'm not giving you
There's.
That point.
There's been
Yeah.
some games this year where Bob's had low shot totals, very low, that he's come up with big saves and got the first star. People are chanting Bobby and stuff like that. So, again, I think it's going to be the quality that Bob is going to come up big with. I don't think he's going to face a lot of rubber like potentially Swayman will. And, again, we got to give Boston credit. They're very good structurally. I think at times we're going to struggle to get shots through on Swayman as
I
well.
mean,
So, we got to get to the high danger area,
like,
which the Leafs struggle to do.
Here's the thing about the Panthers, like when it comes to shots, one of the highest teams in shots on goal per game, and we're one of the best shot suppression teams in the NHL. Like, it's not gonna be like what Winnipeg did against Colorado, where Hellebuck's a damn firing range.
Like for example, Kirby, like you see Boston, the way they played for a couple games against games 5 and 6 against Toronto, Sergei Bobrovsky is 1, 2, 3 shots halfway through the game. It's kind of what I'm like, you know, like hesitant to put him in that spotlight.
I don't know if it's going to be that low.
But for game one, can we let him get some shots in, like the first 5 minutes, again, like a couple shots?
Yeah, we've held he the pretty much every game this series. I mean, the Lightning series, you didn't really face anything too early. So.
No, I just hate when goalies like I have this like anxiety when like goalies don't face a shot for like 10 minutes. I'm just like, oh hell. Especially if it's the first, I'm like, oh dude, the first one's going in because he's not locked in.
It's one of the things that Cody worries about, and Cody doesn't worry about too much, but that has lessened and lessened for me with Sergei Bobrovsky's tenure in Florida. It did the first year or so with, you know, when he's playing with Driedger there and such, but it hasn't been like that for me over the last, no, year and a bit. So again, even maybe 2 years. I really think Bob wasn't a problem for us allowing that first goal last year when we were going through problems that we were during the regular season. So I think over the last couple of seasons, my worries have really decreased on that factor. But yeah, guys, let's get into our X factor here, not be as long here, just kind of brief with it. One on each team. We'll go back to Nick.
Yeah. So for me, for Boston, the X factor, Kirby, you mentioned him earlier. I'm a big fan of him. Trent Frederick, I think the physicality and the intensity of this series, it's really going to play well to Frederick's game. And we talk about, you know, there's been some talk about like Pavel Zacha and Charlie Coyle. They haven't played that well. Part of me wonders, could Trent Frederick, if Montgomery feels, could he come up higher up in the lineup and kind of play a bigger role? I think his physicality and his compete is really going to play a role. But I also think, you know, he was really good in that Toronto series. The potential for Trent Frederick, he plays third line right now. For him to move up, that's one of the things. Like, I think he could be a really sneaky player this series. For Florida, talked about special teams. And a guy that's now centering our third line is Kevin Stenland. I thought he played excellent, particularly games 3 through 5. I think he's going to need to continue to be that good. Obviously, faceoffs are a big part of it. Penalty kill, we talked about how Boston had 35% power play in the previous series. And, you know, his continuity with Evan Rodriguez and Vladimir Tarasenko, we are going to need some production from that bottom six. I think Kevin Stenland, bigger guy, can handle the physicality, faceoffs, penalty kill, and a guy with a nice skill set. You know, he's a very good fourth liner, but he's a guy with a nice skill set. I'd feel relatively comfortable for a short period of time having him come up higher in the lineup and be okay.
So you're going with Trent Frederick of the Boston Bruins and Kevin Stanley of the Florida Panthers as your X factors in this series.
Yes.
Wow, you're taking Kevin Stanley away from me that I was going to use next
Oh.
round if we played Carolina. That
Well,
was
you
going to
could
be
still
my
use him,
guy.
Kirby.
You can
Oh,
still
man.
use him next round. I mean, damn.
He's taking some of my thunder there.
It's not even Carolina. Why are you mad?
No, I think it's still at, yeah, you know, down 1-0 in the series as of this recording. We'll see. We'll see. It's a long series. You're kind of letting them back in at the end of the game there. I'll go really quickly with mine here. Jake DeBrusk of the Boston Bruins. Love this guy. If he ever became a free agent, became available in a trade, I would scoop this guy up in a heartbeat. I think Leafs Nation would as well, as they're trying to garner and grab everyone right now. He was a player in that series with Boston when things were just dead, low event hockey. He was pushing play, getting semi breakaways, putting pucks towards the net, on the net. He's been a problem for the Panthers in the past, like he has with the Leafs. So again, Jake DeBrusk coming up with big power play goals, big goals to first goals in games. He's big at doing that. He's done that to us in the past. So I'm going to take Jake DeBrusk, the Boston Bruins. A guy that was on my top five list last year in this series against Boston. Didn't quite make my list this year, my honorable mention list, but a huge X factor. Nick had him on his list. My guy, Brandon Money Monter. I think he has the potential to be the best defenseman yet again against the Boston Bruins in a playoff series matchup. He's like an ultimate X factor here. I think he's going to produce 5-on-5, maybe add a goal or a key point on the power play. And some of that underrated physicality. Last round was more about tying up players in front of the net, like Braden Point. This round will be about some good body checks and some physicality on these Boston Bruins forwards. So I'm going to go Brandon Montour, my X factor. Cody?
All right, X factor for Boston. Center depth bad. You got to go. I'm going with Morgan Geeky. He's currently probably, as of right now, I looked at their lines. He's currently listed as their first line center with Zacha on the wing. And with the center depth for Boston being completely, like, it's not even close to Florida at this rate. Like, he needs to have a series in order for Boston to win. And I could feel like he could probably get like a grimy goal here and there. Because that's how Tampa kind of got back in those series, like, you know, those crazy deflections or whatever. But for Florida, I'm going to go with my guy, the guy who forced game seven last year for it, Florida Boston series. Give me
Oh,
Ichiro Ristorainen, baby.
here we go. Cody's guy again. Always been Cody's guy, though.
Ichiro thrives in series like this. If Boston wants to muck it up, Augusto's going to have a goal for you. If you want to hit him, he'll hit you right back. And he'll forecheck the absolute hell out of you. And currently, and just like with the way the lines are set up now, he's currently on the second line, which means equals more ice time for him. I expect a bigger impact from Etu. When everything gets clutch, it's Etu's time to shine, baby.
There we go. So again, your X factors, Ristolainen, and for Boston,
Morgan Geeky.
Morgan Geeky. Yep. You and Nick are really high on him. Okay, guys, we're gonna wrap here, but very quickly, just predictions, 1 minute or less, very quick. I'm gonna go Panthers in five. I think someone else on this podcast agrees with me there. It could go six, but again, I'm a little worried how the Panthers look in game one. But I think if they lose game one, they could go four straight, or they might come out of the gates hot at home and they could take one, if not two, on home ice. So I'm going to go Panthers in five.
For
Quote.
me, I'm also gonna go with Florida and five. It's just I don't think Boston can handle our forecheck, and I believe that's just the basis of this series. What I saw against them against Toronto, they're not getting away with half of that stuff against us. And it could once again, it could go six, but then again, I think Florida could take the first two. I think this series is gonna go pretty similarly to Florida Tampa, where Boston might get one because of their desperation.
Well, Cody, you're going Florida in five with me, just like you did last round. We went Florida in seven against Tampa. Nick didn't give us a prediction there, but Nick will
Yes,
walk us out here with his prediction.
you should feel honored, Kirby. I famously don't get predictions, but here we go. I agree with you guys. Lack of forward depth for Boston, and like Cody said, the susceptibility to mistakes and handling our forecheck. I think it's Florida in five. Wouldn't shock me if it goes six, like you guys said, but I'm gonna lean Florida in five.
All right, we're all on the same page here. That's either going to mean two things. We know what we're talking about, or this could be disaster written all over
Don't
it.
even say that,
But
dude.
we're going to be positive. We're going to put Nick's going to the home games. He's got all
Let's go. I'm ready.
he's got the road game watch parties. Hopefully he has enough time for us to
Oh,
come by Twitter Spaces.
dude, I can't wait. I'm
There will be
watching the
one.
games from home too.
What do you mean?
I'm watching the games from home too. I can't wait. Screw a
I
home
can't
game. I'm
wait.
watching the games from home.
I'll be watching a long distance from home here, north of the border, as I always do. But again, I want to thank everyone for today joining us here on the latest Cats and Rats podcast episode. Obviously, my co-hosts, Cody and Nick. Again, follow us post game on Twitter X Spaces. It's a lot of fun. We go live right after the game, 5, 10 minutes after the game. Get in there early, get on mics. We're going to have full mics for game one Monday night. So get in there early. Get your mics request up. We also have the chat live there. And also, you can just be in there as a listener as well if you don't want to be in as a speaker. Follow us on X, Cats and Rats Podcast. Our numbers are growing there. We always got daily content there. We'll probably have another contest from our sponsor, Caneswear, coming up here, hopefully in the near future. And as always, as we go out, let's go, Cats.